on the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does. Now, we are going to touch those things, mostly next week. But it's kind of like the same idea as the end times. I want for us to understand what we need to know about the Holy Spirit that's going to affect us. It's going to affect our life. And the Holy Spirit is very important. It's a vital part of the Christian life. Now, we sometimes get a little leery about the Holy Spirit because sometimes when there are other views of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does that maybe make us nervous, you know, like we're not going to roll in the aisles or shoot fireballs at anybody or anything weird like that. But that's a real doctrine out there. And so I think what the tendency is for Baptists or those that are in our doctrinal circles, we sometimes get so nervous about the Holy Spirit that we kind of just ignore him completely and what his role is. But that's dangerous too, because we're going to find out that it's impossible. It is impossible to live the Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it. It's not possible. And now people try to do it all the time. People try to live the Christian life and be everything that the Word of God wants us to be on their own, in their flesh. And it's dangerous. It gets people frustrated. It makes people proud, too, because they're like, well, I could do this. Why can't they do it? But really, if we're going to do anything for God, it's got to be through the help of His Spirit. And so we're gonna talk a lot about that. Just to be upfront with you, too, I brought this book with me. It's a book called He That Is Spiritual. Most of what I'm going to be laying out here is at least structured by him. He died in 1952, so this is a pretty old book. Okay, it doesn't have the copyright because there isn't one, because I guess because it's so old that it's probably gone now. So I would imagine it was probably written in the early 1900s. He was born in 1871. So anyway, really hard to find. If you ever get this book, it's frustrating. There's no page numbers. So then it's like, it has a table of contents, and it has everything that's in there, but then where is it? Who knows? But anyway, I just want to let you know that up front about it, a lot of the material is from this book, but also just other studies as well. So we technically, just to let you know, there's three basic ideas we're going to consider in this study, the series, called the Spirit-Filled Life. In the bulletin, it's called He That Is Spiritual. But I like the title, Spirit-Filled Life. I think it helps us understand what we're trying to accomplish here. So there's three basic ideas that we're going to cover. Now, I have no idea how many lessons that's going to be. You guys understand that. So I'm not going to say we have three lessons, because then that's lying pretty much. It's probably not going to be just three. But there's three basic ideas we're going to cover. The first one is this, that we're going to talk heavily about today, that there are three classes of mankind. And don't get nervous. It's not a weird, like, financial status, or we're going to talk about, that's not what he's talking about. But Paul, he categorizes all of mankind into three basic classes. We'll talk about that. And all of those, by the way, getting ahead of myself, have to do with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we'll talk about that. Then the second idea that we're going to be talking about is really just a better idea of who the Holy Spirit is. We'll dig into that a little bit and what he does. And we'll go back to the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament. We'll see how the Holy Spirit operated in the Gospels and Acts, because it's very different than how he operates today. And then we'll see how he operates today. And so that'll be exciting. And then we'll focus on how we can really be have the Spirit-filled life that God wants us to have. Okay? So just so you know, that's kind of the direction we're going to be taking with this study. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, we'll jump into this. And I do encourage you, if you have any questions, let me know. Just let me know. I got so absorbed in this, so maybe some things are just passed by or maybe not explained like they should. So any questions, please make sure you ask. There's no wrong ones, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the word that helps us to live for you. I just pray that you would help us to understand today, help us to be attentive, and Lord, please help me as I attempt to explain about these truths. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. So, does everybody have a paper this morning? Everyone has one in front of them? Anybody need a paper this morning? a lesson? Okay. All right, we'll just jump right into it. In the introduction, there's an obvious difference in the character and quality. Now let's turn this on, and then we'll, and there we go. Write those words, character and quality, of the daily life of Christians as compared to the lost. Now, I forgot to underline that on there. As compared to the lost, okay, or the word lost. And that's obvious, isn't it? And anyone who's saved in here understands that. Like, they just know that, I guess emotionally would be maybe the right word. You just know that you're different, right? And that difference is spoken of all throughout the New Testament. And we'll find out later in our studies, the reason there's such a difference is because the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, okay? Whenever you're saved, the Holy Spirit regenerates you. We'll talk more about what that means later, but makes you alive, and the Holy Spirit indwells you. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of you after you're saved, and you can't help but be different. And we're not going to labor on that for this study very much, but the Word of God is very clear that when you're changed, you're different. Okay, when you're saved, you're not who you were when you were lost. There's the old man and there's the new man. The Bible says that all things are become new, and so we have a different spirit about us because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Okay, and so there's a huge difference between a lost person and a saved person because of that reason. But we're not going to focus too much on that. What we're going to focus on is this. However, there is also a notable difference in the character and quality in the daily life among Christians. Okay, now there's no blanks there, but just think what I just said. Just think about that. There's also a very clear difference in the character and quality of life among Christians. Like, there are some saved people that really struggle to do right and serve God and surrender, but then there's other Christians that seem to have the fruit of the Spirit in their life and love and joy and peace. And why is there such a difference? Why is that? If the same Holy Spirit indwells every believer, then why is it that some seem to have more love or more joy or more peace or the other fruit of the Spirit than other people do? Well, just think about that logically. Is it because they're just better people? No, it can't be that. We're all wicked, aren't we? We all have sin indwelling us as well. And so why is it that some tend to have these and some tend to struggle more with these? And we're going to talk about that in our series and in whole, okay? Here in 1 Corinthians 2, let's go ahead and turn there because that's going to be the bulk of our lesson today. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, it's often said that people struggle, you know, to love because they're just not a loving person. Or people struggle to have peace just because they're an anxious person. Or people tend to have struggle with joy because they're just not a bubbly person. And none of those things are true. All of us, none of us are of our own selves joyful, true joy, not happiness, or of our own selves loving, or of our own selves have peace. All of those are the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And so there's not someone who's better, who's more moral than others. It all has to do with a man's relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, all the way to chapter 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul divides the entire human race into three groups, three basic groups. These groups have nothing to do with ethnicity or gender or financial status, nothing like that. Paul divided mankind based on their relationship to the Holy Spirit, okay? And we'll see those very clearly in this text here. The first one is the natural man, okay? The natural man who is unregenerate. That means the man who is lost, who's not been made alive, made quickened by the Holy Spirit, the man who does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling him, okay? A lost person. That's the natural man. By the way, that's who we all are, aside from the help of the Holy Spirit. And we still have that in us. It's our flesh, okay? That side of us that wants to do our own thing and wants to reject God and his ways, that's the flesh. And that's the old man, like Paul talked about. And we all still have that. We need to work to deny that and put on the new man, okay? Okay, the second group that Paul places mankind in is the carnal man. Carnal man, who is a babe in Christ and walks as a man. All right? Now, when he says walks as a man, that's right there in the text. He's talking about he walks just like a lost person. He's saved. He's a babe in Christ, whether or not he's a new Christian. You understand? Paul's talking to Christians who are not new Christians, but they're still babes. You know, that means they haven't matured. And the reason that they're called carnal is because carnal means fleshly. Okay? And so we'll talk more about this, but they operate by the flesh. They're saved, but they still seem like they're lost in some ways because they're operating by the flesh. And then the last one would be the spiritual man. Spiritual. That sounds so high and holy. Spiritual, you know? We can't think that way. Spiritual is not a bad word. It's not a proud word, at least it shouldn't be. And if you're saying you're spiritual and you're being proud, then you're not spiritual, okay? Spiritual is a biblical word and a biblical teaching that's all throughout the Word of God that we'll be dealing with. And it just means that you're rightly related to the Holy Spirit, okay? It could be said this way. When you're saved, you're rightly related with Christ and you're a Christian, right? When you're saved, you have your relationship with Christ is established. You can't lose that. But just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're spiritual, okay? Just because you are rightly related with Christ and because of that with the Father, that does not mean you're rightly, properly aligned with what the Holy Spirit wants you to do in your life, okay? And so it could be said that way. And that's all that means, the spiritual man. These groups are classified by the Apostle Paul according to their ability to understand and receive a certain body of truth, capital T, truth, which is of things revealed unto us by the Spirit. Okay? Now, obviously, that would be the Word of God, and we'll explain that in a second. Paul made it clear that this classification was made evident by their attitude toward things revealed. Okay, let me explain that. So these groups are classified by a person's ability to properly understand Scripture, okay? But Scripture is given to us by the Spirit, okay? And so the more a man is rightly aligned with the Spirit, the more a man is able to properly understand the Scriptures. And we'll explain that in a second. And when a man, I'm sorry, we're getting real deep real early, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but when a man is not able to understand the Scriptures properly, I'm not talking about a knowledge, I'm just talking about it's in you and it affects you. When a man is not able to do that, it's very evident in their actions. Okay? And Paul, that's why Paul is able to call out some people and say, I wanted to talk to you like you're spiritual, but I can't because of how you're acting. And I have to deal with you like you're carnal. Okay? Like you're a babe in Christ. So we'll talk more about that too. All right. The next paragraph there. The classification of these three groups ring true today, don't they? Paul was talking about that Paul will contrast the natural man, so a lost person, with a spiritual man. But then he contrasts a carnal man with a spiritual man. So those three groups are still true, okay? Accepting Christ as Savior and becoming indwelt by the Holy Spirit makes an incredible difference in a person's life. It does, and we talked about that. But salvation is not the end purpose of a Christian, okay? Whenever you get saved, your life is not just where it needs to be, is it? No, when you're saved, you're born again, right? You're born again. That means you're starting. When a baby is born, Milo was born 4 weeks ago. You know what we didn't do? All right, go figure it out. Go get a job, figure it out, right? No, they're a babe, and they need to learn. And so whenever we are born in Christ, we're not where we need to be. We need to mature. We need to mature from a carnal person into a spiritual person. We need that. And from a babe in Christ who is only accepting milk into a mature Christian who is able to understand what Paul talks about as the deep things of God. Okay? All right. In fact, it's simply the beginning of a lifelong journey of a Christian to grow from an immature carnal Christian to a mature spiritual Christian. And this lesson, however long and many weeks that takes, we'll consider three groups of mankind. And in the coming weeks after that, we'll learn more about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and how a person can progress from the carnal Christian to a spiritual Christian. Okay? Point number one here. This has to be established before we talk about these three classes of mankind. And Paul does that in our text. Point number one is this: spiritual things cannot be understood without the Spirit. Now that just makes sense, doesn't it? Things that are spiritual, how are you going to understand them without the Spirit? Okay? And Paul will very plainly explain that. The passage opens as follows. Now, I had you turn. We have most of the scripture, though, right here in the text. So you can look right at your Bible if you'd like to, but it's also right here. The passage opens as follows. As it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Okay? So a distinction here is drawn between these two things. First, the general subject of human knowledge, which are revealed, as Paul said, through the eyes, the ears, and the heart, that power to reason, the inner man, okay? The spirit of man. Those are he says, "I have not seen, ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man." That would be the knowledge that we have access to as people that we don't really need the Spirit to understand. Understand, like, math. Now, sometimes it seems like we need the Holy Spirit's help for that, but we don't. You can do, and people do that without being saved, okay? And science and things like that. But whenever we're talking about things that are spiritual, that's the second thing that Paul's talking here. Other subjects which are said to have been revealed unto us by his Spirit. This is the Word of God, okay? The Word that the Spirit reveals, and we'll speak about this. The Spirit reveals the Word of God. That's what he does. Okay? And because the Word of God is a spiritual book, it's not just a normal book. So any man could pick up a science textbook and read it. Well, I'll say any. Most men can take up a science textbook and read it and understand some things about gravity and some things about, if you continue on, thermodynamics and all of these things that are there. Okay? But there is no man, okay? Now, this might be hard to stomach, but there is no man that without the Spirit's help can open the Word of God and know what it means. Now, we're going to explain what I mean by that. Brother Chad, it's the words. They know the definitions. Yeah, they can come up with doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine out there that man has come up with by this book. But it's not what this book says. Understand? So, no, there's no man that is lost that can pick up this Bible and know what it means without the help of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit can help a lost man to understand some basic things. Isn't that right? We'll talk about that. But to have a full body of truth about what the Bible says, it's not possible for a lost man to do. Because we need the Holy Spirit's help with that. And the Holy Spirit probably isn't going to help a lost man understand really most doctrine except for salvation. Okay? Okay, now we'll get into the scripture here. We said that blank? Yeah, okay, let us see here. Other places in scripture make it very clear that the Holy Spirit's main job is to reveal scripture. Okay, reveal scripture. Now that is the Holy Spirit's main job. I want to be careful to say that's not necessarily his only job. We'll see that next week. He has some other jobs that he does. But his main job, especially to the lost, is to reveal scripture that would help them to be saved, okay? But even as a saved person, the Holy Spirit's main job is to help us to understand the scripture, the things that are revealed, so that we can live the life that he wants us to live, okay? John 16:13 is right here in your lesson, says this: "Howbeit," now this is Christ himself speaking, "howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." I like how Christ talks to him as the Spirit of truth. Okay? So Christ is very clear to say that the Spirit, his job is revealing truth. Okay? He will guide you into all truth. Now, we're not going to take a whole lot of time to explain this, but his job is to help mankind to see the truth of the Word of God. And apart from the Holy Spirit's help, no man can understand, not even salvation. We'll talk about that. No man can understand salvation except the Holy Spirit help him understand. And now that sounds maybe weird, but I'm going to explain it more, and we'll make sure we get to that point today, at least. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit is not going to come and deliver things of himself. Now, why does Christ say that? Because Christ is being very clear to say the Holy Spirit is not going to give more revelation than what's already in the Word of God, okay? He's not going to come and give people this gift of tongues and have them speak, and then they say something that's not in the Word of God. Understand? That's not how he operates. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us understand what's revealed in the Word of God. Now, the pastor has been talking about in 1 Corinthians about tongues, and before the Word of God was complete, the Holy Spirit would give people, reveal things to people because they don't have the complete Word of God. But because we have the complete Word of God now, his main job is to reveal to us and help us understand this spiritual book that we have. Okay, and we don't need anything else, or else why would God not have given it to us? Okay. We have everything we need spiritually right here in the Word of God. Okay? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So just if we have any questions, what does he mean by guide them in all truth? Well, in the very next chapter, Christ says that the Word of God, that's what's truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't reveal any new information that is not found in the Word of God. Okay, we need to understand that. Number 4, as we find in this passage, his main job is to help man to understand the scripture, the things that are already revealed, which Paul refers to as the deep things of God in our text. Okay. 2 Peter 1:21 also tells us that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the what? Holy Ghost, okay? And so this book is not just any book that was revealed by the will of man, but the Holy Spirit himself moved men to write this book, okay? And since the Holy Spirit is the author, the ultimate author, write that word in the blank, of this scripture, it would only make sense that you would need him to help understand and interpret scripture. Amen? That make sense to everybody? Are we okay? Are we losing anybody? Okay, good. I was kind of nervous about that. Okay, letter D here. Aside from the Holy Spirit, no man can truly understand the things of God. For what man knoweth, this is right in our text, verse 11, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God, and then I just put in there, knows them. Okay, So he's saying here, no man can know what another man is thinking, right? That's what he means by in the spirit of man, what he is thinking, his mind, his thought process, his intentions, all of those things, okay? I cannot know what any of you guys think or feel or intend to do, okay? Now, a lot of people think they can do that and think that they can figure out everyone's intentions and motives and thought process, but we can't do that. The only one that knows that is the man who that spirit is in, okay? That's what Paul says. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him, okay? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows them. So this is what Paul is saying, is that you can't, just like you don't have the spirit of another man, you can't understand what they're really thinking unless his spirit is in you. That would be weird, right? But that would be the only way. If somehow I can suck your spirit and put it in me, and then I can know what you're thinking. Well, listen, no man can truly know what God is thinking and how God intends for them to live, and how God his thought processes and his worldview, no man can truly know that except they have the Spirit of God. Okay? That's pretty clear, isn't it? And so if a man doesn't have the Spirit of God in him, then he is not able, it is impossible for him to know what God is thinking or saying. Okay? Now, he might know what he is saying, but he wouldn't really understand the intents and the thought processes and all of those things. And really, the inner, the deeper things. What God really means when he says that. Because words can be misinterpreted. We know that. Communication's a hard thing, isn't it? I was listening to an audio book seminar thing about communication, and it's crazy. So communication, it's really hard. So if you want to communicate to somebody, you first have to think about something. Now for me, that's really difficult. But then, after you think about it, you've got to, in your brain, put it to words that actually mean what you're thinking, right? Then you have to somehow communicate that to somebody else, like by saying it, and then they can mishear your words. It's like telephone, but smaller, right? The game telephone. And so then you have to say those words. But then those people have to actually hear your words, okay, all of them. And then they have to think the words that you say mean what you thought they mean, okay? And that could get messed up quick, all right? And so that's why Paul is saying here that even though we have words from God, if we don't have the Spirit of him in us, then we can't truly understand what he meant. Okay? Does that make sense? It would be a lot easier if I can just like jump into your body and then tell you, then you don't understand, then jump back out. We should try that. No, we shouldn't try that. Let's get some kids up here. No. Okay. But that's what Paul's saying there. Number two here. The unaided man. That's a hard word to spell, so here it is. Unaided. That means the man that's not helped by the Holy Spirit can understand the things of his fellow man because the spirit of man which is in him. So they can have a pretty good understanding of what other people say. You know, they can mostly figure it out because, for the most part, because you have a spirit of man and I have a spirit of man, and so we can relate pretty good. We might not get it all the way down, but we can pretty much figure it out. However, an unaided man cannot truly understand the things of God. Okay? If you don't have the Spirit of God, it's not going to make any sense. It's going to be foolishness to you. And that's what Paul says. Number four here. Even though man of himself cannot know the things of God, the Spirit knows them. And a man may be so related to the Spirit that he too may know them. Now that's a deep thing, all right? And like I said, I'm reading this guy who wrote it in like 18... or 1905 or something, so trying to make it in our language here. But so he's saying, even though a man, we can't of ourselves understand the things of God, we cannot. But a man can be so related in such a way to the Holy Spirit that they can understand because the Holy Spirit indwells them, okay? And that's good news, okay? Letter E, the passage continues. Now we, that is all who are saved. Paul's not talking about we who are the apostles, right? No, he's saying we have received, all saved people have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. Now, I don't know why I stopped italicizing, but that's all in the verse, okay? That's great news, all right? Because the Spirit of God abides within those who are saved, it is possible to know the things that are freely given us of God, which is the Word of God. No, it doesn't matter how smart we are or whatever, if we have the Spirit of God in us, it is possible for us to understand the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God, okay? Yeah. We could never, ever, ever know them ourselves. The Spirit knows. He indwells us, and he reveals. Okay? The Scripture is given to us in words, right? All Scripture is given us in words, which the Holy Spirit teaches, as Paul goes on to say. Ready? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. So these are still words, but these are words directly from the Holy Spirit. And so we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual, meaning we need to have a man who is spiritual in order to interpret things that are written by the Spirit. Okay? God's book is a book of words. And the very words which they convey, the very words which convey man's wisdom are used to convey the things which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. So the same words that convey things that mankind can understand without the Spirit are the same words that convey the Word of God. Okay? Nevertheless, unaided man cannot understand the deep things of God, though couched in words most familiar to man, except they're revealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? We cannot truly understand the implications and the motives and the principles of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit's aid. Apart from the Spirit, there can be no spiritual understanding. All right? So that had to be said before we get into our three categories, okay? And so now I hope it's very clear. I was trying to be as clear as possible. We need the Spirit to help us understand the Word of God. All right? And so now what we're going to do is look at three groups of mankind. Remember the natural man, the man who does not have the Spirit in him at all. Then we have the carnal man who has the Spirit in him but chooses to ignore him. Essentially, that's who the carnal man is. And then the spiritual man, the one who has the Spirit in him and decides to surrender to him. Okay? So let's look at the carnal man. The carnal man. Verse 14 says, the natural man. I said carnal man, and I'm sorry. It's because I'm made of flesh. Amen? That's why I wrote it up here. The natural man. There it is. The natural man. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? The natural man cannot understand the things of God. Now, Paul is not blaming the natural man, telling him, man, what is your deal? How could you not understand? You know, he's not blaming him for not receiving, that's the blank, receiving the Scripture. He is simply stating that he is not able to. You know the word ignorant? You guys know that word, ignorant? That's not a bad word. Now some of you smiled when I said that because it's like, ignorant. People do that, but they're ignorant of how to even say that word. But ignorant is not a mean word. It's not a degrading word. Ignorant just means you don't know, right? You don't know. You're not able to know them until you learn, right? Like, I'm ignorant of how to build an engine. No idea. I never learned it, okay? Now, if I went to school for 4 years and I still had no idea, that'd be a problem. But I never learned how to do that, and so I'm ignorant of that, okay? So it's kind of the same idea with this, with being a natural man. They just can't understand spiritual things, all right? Now they try, all right? We talked about that. There's a lot of doctrine out there that says it's from the Word of God that's written by lost people, okay? And if we're going to really get to the bottom of why are there so many different denominations, I would contend that it's because the people who wrote those doctrines weren't saved to begin with, most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time, okay? Or they're influenced by someone who is trying to explain the Word of God without having the Spirit of God in him. But that's a whole different thing, all right? But Paul's just saying if you're lost, you can't. You can't understand the things of God. And that's why we can't get upset at lost people for acting like lost people, okay? Like, I just don't understand why they don't go to church. Well, they're not saved. I mean, you got to give them a carnal reason to come because they're not thinking spiritually. Or why do those people do that? Or why do they go to the bars all the time? And why do they do all these things that are wicked? Well, it's because they're lost and they just can't live spiritually, okay? And so we have to understand that. And Paul is very clear to say, and such were some of you. because before we were lost, we made bad decisions, and we still do along the way. But before we were saved, because when we're lost, we can't think spiritually. And if we're lost, and we do things that seem like they're good, it's only because we don't want to face consequences, okay? If you're lost and you don't go to the bar, it's because you don't want to die when you drive or something. You know, there's things like that, but that's not a spiritual reason, okay? Or they don't want to be looked down upon, or it's a pride thing, or it's a self-preservation thing, but it's not a spiritual reason. It's not because God said so, all right? Okay, number two, the natural man is helpless to understand things revealed because he has not received the Spirit which is of God. He only has the Spirit which is of man. Oh, that's the next blank. Well, he has received only the Spirit of man which is in him. Though he may with man's wisdom be able to read the words, he cannot receive their spiritual meaning. To him, the revelation is foolishness. He cannot receive it or know it. That's the natural man. Letter B, the natural man cannot receive the word of God. I'm sorry, if the natural man cannot receive the word of God, then how can a lost person be saved? That's a valid question. You know, I think people get confused here. Well, look, they can't understand how they get saved. Because to be saved, we have to understand the gospel, don't we? We have to understand that Christ came to this earth and died for us. And if we don't understand that, then we're not saved. Because that's the power of salvation. And so, how does that all work, okay? Paul is saying that a natural man cannot use man's wisdom to truly understand Scripture. A natural man needs the Holy Spirit to reveal him the Scripture. Now, the Holy Spirit does that in a lost person, okay? Now, even though the Holy Spirit does not indwell a lost person, the Holy Spirit can still use the spiritual book and the Word of God to reveal things to a lost person. Understand? Now, they're not just going to come up with this on their own without the help of the Word of God. A lost man is never going to just decide, oh yeah, so I'm lost, and Jesus came to this earth because he's God, and he died, and now I'll just accept him. That can't happen without the help of the Holy Spirit. That can't happen without him hearing the word of God, which is a spiritual book, okay? And we'll explain that right now. In John 16:8, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit would come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, Jesus says, look, I have to leave, but when I leave, the Comforter is going to come. And when he does, he is going to reveal to mankind that they are sinners and that there's righteousness out there and of the judgment to come and by implication, what Christ has done to save them from the judgment to come and all of those things. That's what the Holy Spirit does, okay, for lost people. So it's only by this is a very important word, conviction of the Holy Spirit, that a lost man can truly understand and have faith in the gospel and be saved. Okay? A man cannot just decide to believe the gospel because they can't even know and understand the gospel without the Spirit's help. That's the difference. Okay? Now, I don't think I put it in my notes, but James talks about those that believe and those that have faith. And he says the devils believe and they tremble, okay? Demons believe that Jesus is real, but they're not saved, right? So it's more than just belief, it's a conviction. It's a true understanding of the gospel. And that's faith, and we'll talk about that in a second. Faith is a true, without a shadow of a doubt, belief that it is true. That Jesus is who he is, that I'm lost, and if I don't have this, I'm going to die and go to hell. And listen, if you truly understand that, then why would you not be saved? And here's the deal, you wouldn't. Because there's all over the scriptures there are people that say, well, what must I do to be saved? And you know what happened there? They truly listened, they allowed themselves to be taught by the Holy Spirit, and whenever they did that, the Holy Spirit revealed to them the gospel, and they truly understood it for the first time, conviction, and then they asked to be saved, all right? So that's how it works. Okay, where am I at? Letter five here. Okay, this truth is explained in another way in Scripture by explaining that the faith to be saved comes from God. Okay? Even the very faith that you had to become saved in the first place came from God. Just so that we can make sure we're not being proud, okay? Because we wouldn't even have this faith other than God revealing it to us, okay? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God," okay? What's the gift of God? Faith. Now we say salvation, true, that's a gift of God, but it there refers to the faith. It says you're saved through faith, and that, what? That faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, okay? And so the faith to truly believe comes from God, not from ourselves. And there are more verses that explain that. We're not going to get into all of these because that's not the true point of this lesson, but I did want to help you understand this. It's really important. Okay, so how does that work? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith that comes from God comes by hearing." I thought you said it comes by God. Well, yeah, it does. By hearing what God gave us. The hearing by the word of God. And we wouldn't have the word of God except God give it to us. You understand? And so what in Ephesians, what Paul is saying is, you think, I think maybe he's helping because he says, lest any man should boast. And Paul is addressing this, that you're saved and you think you're better than people because you're saved and they're not. And you're getting proud about that. But even the fact that you're saved and the fact that you even had faith to begin with, you couldn't do except God give it to you. Okay? And there's no man that would have faith apart from the word of God, and we wouldn't have the word of God unless God revealed it. Okay? Does that make sense? That's a lot, but does that make sense? Are there any questions about that idea? Because it's basic, but it could get confused easily. All right? So the faith comes from God himself. Okay? And then the Holy Spirit uses the word of God, and he does his job to confirm in the hearts of man that the word of God is true. Romans 10:13-15. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And so Paul is just using logic here. If someone is saved by calling on the Lord, well, how do they call upon the Lord if they don't believe in the Lord? But then how do they believe in the Lord if they've never heard of the Lord? Right? And we're not just going to naturally come up with Jehovah's God, all right? We come up with there are gods all the time without God's help. People come up with all kinds of weird gods. But we're not going to come to the conclusion that Jehovah is God unless we hear about him. But how shall they hear about him without a preacher? Okay? And so a lost person needs to hear this spiritual book, the Word of God. Okay? A lost person needs that. If a lost person does not hear from a preacher, now that doesn't necessarily only mean the man of God at the pulpit, but someone to proclaim the word of God to somebody, if they don't have somebody to tell them, they have no hope. Now, why did God choose to do that? I don't know. God chose to use mankind to reach mankind. We can't understand that all the way. I think it would have been a lot more efficient if he just came to every single person and told them, right? But that's not how God chose to do it. He chose to send people. And no one in this town is going to know the truth of the word of God unless someone who is spiritual, that understands the word of God, explains it to them. Okay? Now a lot of in this town think they're right with Christ and think they're going to be in heaven when they die, but many are deceived into thinking that works gets them there, or baptism gets them there, or just being a member of a specific church gets them there, but they're deceived. And the people that those doctrines are based off, they weren't spiritually understanding the scriptures. because they came up with false doctrine. That's not the truth of the Word of God. So they need, these people need somebody who does understand the Word of God to come to them and explain to them that the only way that they can be saved is by calling on the name of the Lord. Okay? And a natural man needs that. Okay? Number six here. The Holy Spirit confirms the Word of God to the lost, which results in conviction and drawing. Now, I didn't put the verse there. Pastor, do you know off the top of your head that verse that says, no man comes except the Father draws them? It's in there. I should have put it down. I didn't. 12:32. John 12:32. If you could turn there. Oh, that's true too, but there's another verse that is even more. Let me look it up. I've got it on an email somewhere. After this point, we'll finish this next week. Big surprise. All right, let's see. I want to find this verse, this other verse too, because I think it's really important. I don't know if I'm going to find it. Bummer. Let's see. I'm going to look it up. We're thankful for these electric Bibles. Amen? Amen. Because I want to, now, if you're there in John 12:32, let's read that. And Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so if Christ is lifted up, if people are aware, you see, if he's lifted up, people can see it. And if people can see Christ and what he's done, then that will draw men. Okay? Now there's another verse that's very clear too. Let's see if I could find it. I really want to give it to you because it's really important. I should have wrote it down. Let's see. No. I'll find it. Next week I'll give it to you, okay? But basically it says this. So basically the idea is no man can be saved unless the Father draws them, okay? Now the drawing of God is very clear, all right? The fact that God draws people to salvation is clear. Now that idea gets very confused. And people begin to think this way. Well, then, that must mean that God, if someone is saved, it's because God drew them. And they get this idea that God, like, put them in a chokehold and dragged them. Understand? That sounds weird, but that's what they believe. It's this. I'm just going to be up front. It's called Calvinism. That people think God goes out there and chooses because they can't do it themselves. And they're totally discerned, which is true. Of their own, they're totally discerned. And they're totally wicked. And so because of that, God goes down there and he finds who he wants to be saved and he puts him in a chokehold and he brings him in and now they're saved whether they like it or not. Okay? And then those that he hasn't chosen, they have no chance whether they want to be saved or not. That's Calvinism. And it's real. And if I had Calvinists in here, they would say, yeah, of course that's true. What you just said. Because they get this idea that no man comes to the Father unless he draws them. Okay? And so they get that idea. And they get this, even like we read, that no man can understand Scripture unless the Holy Spirit tell them. And so they think that the Holy Spirit goes out there and tells certain people how to be saved, but then other people, not he doesn't tell them how to be saved. Nowhere does the Bible say that, okay? That's the next point. Nowhere does it say that the Holy Spirit chooses who he will and will not convict of sin, okay? Or that a man has to respond correctly to his drawing or conviction, okay? It doesn't say that, nowhere does it say that, now it does say the Holy Spirit draws men, but nowhere does it say that the Holy Spirit chooses who he's going to draw. And then whenever he draws them, they have to respond in faith. It doesn't say that anywhere. Actually, it says the opposite a lot of places. And it says that God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if God was forcing them to be saved, why would they have this choice to choose to call upon him? Okay, so it's very clear, but people just get so caught up on that. Okay, all he's saying is this, all of those words, all those verses, the fact that the Holy Spirit draws men, the fact that no man can come to God unless God draws them, the fact that no man can understand the gospel except the Holy Spirit give it to them. All of that is only saying this, and only this. Number two, man simply would not have an opportunity. Remember we read that verse that even your faith is a gift of God, and so people think, well, that means that God chose to give them this gift and not them. No, all he's saying is that man would have no way to place faith in Christ without hearing the word of God and the guiding, convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Both of them are needed, okay? If God never wrote the word of God, mankind would have no hope of salvation. But then if the Holy Spirit did not do the work of teaching the spiritual book, man would have no hope, okay? Now, every man that hears the word of God, they have hope. Because now they have the word of God. And now the Holy Spirit can guide them from what they've heard. And now because the Holy Spirit, they've heard and the Holy Spirit is guiding them, they're able to believe and have faith and call. But it's still their decision whether they're going to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay? It's not, God doesn't force anybody to do that. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Yes, Brother Dave. Ooh, maybe. Yes. Brother Dave's the man. John 6:44, then we'll be done because I'm already late. But I do want to help you understand that. Are we there? John 6:44? Amen. I like that. Let's see it again. Ready? Amen. Okay. Ready? 6:44. No man can come to me. Now, this is Christ speaking. No man can come to Christ, that means being saved, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him at the last day. Okay? And then that's talking about the resurrection and after the rapture. But no man can be saved except the Father draw them. Well, how does the Father draw them? The Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Those two things draw men unto Christ. And so our job is just this. Teach the Word of God. Our job is not to convince people. Our job is just teach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit will convince them that it's true. If they humble themselves to listen. Okay? There's many that hear the Word of God and then they don't do anything. It's because they don't want to hear the Word of God. They want to live their life their way. They like their life the way it is, and so they're rejecting it. Okay? But if they're listening to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can convince them it's true. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to pressure people to be saved, and we don't have to force them to say a prayer. No. The Holy Spirit will do that. We just need to teach the Word of God and let the Spirit work that way. Okay? Letter C, until a man is saved, the Holy Spirit does not indwell them, and they will not have a true understanding of the Scriptures. Okay? Now, I said all that to say this. Now, next week, we're going to get into the realm of saved people. Okay? That is how the Holy Spirit guides in the life of a lost person and guides them in the Scriptures. Okay? A natural man. But next week, we're going to learn about those that are saved, who now the Holy Spirit indwells. There's a difference between the carnal man and the spiritual man. And we'll learn about that next week. Okay? All right, I better pray and we'll be done. Lord, thank you so much again for this great day. Thank you again for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work that he does in the lives of those that are lost. And all of us, even that are saved, what he did for us to confirm in us your word. And thank you for your word, Lord, the grace that you had to even write that for us. And we pray that you would just help us to have confidence in your word, even though that we're saved. Help us to surrender to your Spirit and help him to allow him to guide us and direct us into all truth. And Lord, I pray for the services to come. I pray for Pastor Moore that you give him strength and Lord, power from you as he preaches, Lord, this morning and this afternoon. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.